This podcast is brought to you by Howie's Store. Save 50% on restaurants, hotels, and more. To order, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on store. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
It was a trifecta night for former Vice President Joe Biden as primary voters in three states head to the polls despite the threat of coronavirus.
You know, if you're Joe Biden, you have to think about how do you run against a guy who's spending hours on television every day talking to the American people about this mortal threat.
Good evening. Good evening, everyone.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Senator Sanders and his supporters have brought a remarkable passion and tenacity to all of these issues.
You've put economic and social justice issues front and center where they belong.
So let me say, especially to the young voters who have been inspired by Senator Sanders, I hear you.
And to all of your supporters here and around the country, I want you to know, I've heard you.
Cheating, plagiarism, any sort of dishonest or inappropriate behavior.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
He's the president of the United States in the midst of a crisis. If he consistently appears to be wrestling with that crisis, this is a country that likes to rally behind the leader.
Why do you keep calling this the Chinese virus?
Because it comes from China.
Racist.
It's not racist at all. No, it comes from China. It comes from China.
All together now.
It comes from China.
Unchained and unstoppable.
Trump's been tooting his dog whistle pretty hard by calling it Chinese virus. And he defended it at today's press conference.
There are some, at least one White House official, who used the term Kung Flu.
I wonder who said that. You know who said that?
I'm not sure the person's name, but...
Say the term again.
Kung Flu.
Everybody was... Kung Flu.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. That was the press conference today. That was the big thing. Again, I am concerned that people are dying because of this, and I'm also concerned that the stock market is down to the levels of that it was at when President Trump took office. All the gains of the last 3 years have now been erased in a couple of weeks because of this. And I'm not sure whether or not we have really accomplished anything here with this this pandemic. You can't have a pandemic without panic. And that's what we seem to have here in the United States. And the Three Stooges, though, did want to check in, though. They have they've issued their warnings. They're putting out a public service announcement we wanted to share with you here on the Howie Carr Show.
Spread out.
They had more to say.
Get away from here.
Get away from the restaurants. Get away from the hotels. Get away from the sports arenas, the stadiums. Get away from the schools. All right. 844-500-4242 if you'd like to join us here this afternoon, every weekday afternoon. The stock market's down. Dow Jones Industrial Average, 1,300-plus points today. And again, all the gains, basically, of the Trump presidency have now been erased in the stock market. And the death toll remains at zero in Massachusetts and in most states. But there was one reported case in West Virginia. So now all 50 states have at least one victim of the coronavirus. Grace, what have you got for news of the day?
I've got some good news, Howie, because you're making me sad with all this news here.
I did hear about the stock market being at the lowest gains since when President Trump took office. I just want to remind everyone that this is a temporary situation, that we're going to come out of this and people are going to be spending money like crazy, and don't get down because we will beat it and then we will be fine. This too shall pass. In good news, a patron left a $9,400 tip to pay restaurant staff during the coronavirus closure. I've been seeing a lot of stories like this, and it's really cool.
That's the restaurant I work at night.
Oh, it is?
Where do I go to get my money?
Oh, Irma's, Howie. I didn't know you worked in Houston in your time off.
I do in Harris County.
You know, you are such a multi-talented person. Mm-hmm. And you're a giver. Now you wait tables at night, you radio during the day. There's
nothing
you can
do. When are they whacking up the
do.
Tip jar tonight at Irma's? I'll be there.
So this guy left, he took a takeout order, and then he left a $9,400 tip, and he said, hold tip to pay your guys over the next few weeks. This thing is really hitting people in the service industry super hard because they work hourly. A lot of them don't have, you know, the restaurants don't have any rules that they have to take care of these people when times are tough. So really cool story coming out of there. And also, Howie, a lot of celebrities are losing their minds. They say that times like this can really show you who people are. We already know these celebrities are complete dinks, but they're proving it yet again. And I want to start with, you know what? Let's start with Chrissy Teigen. Chrissy Teigen was up late last night. I believe she was intoxicated. She said she was intoxicated, so I believe her. She started hate tweeting.
It's important in these troubled times, Grace. It's important to try to avoid ingesting bad ice cubes. You know, the virus can be spread with a bad ice cube.
She said, "Has Melania even thought about doing something with her Be Best bleep during these times? I see regular awesome people on my timeline all day doing all they can to make people happy, and this wife bot is working on whatever the bleep a tennis gazebo is." She later went on to say, "I expect Donald to be a do-nothing..."
A little envious, Christy? Chrissy, whatever your name is.
"I expect Donald to be a do-nothing bleeping loser wimp, but she could maybe possibly try to be better, possibly the best. All I have seen this bot do is gently..."
What a kofefe is that, talk.
"All I have seen this bot do is gently touch Christmas ornaments in a cape and stare in a cape and pat statues in a different cape and then change her cape into a rude..."
How many
blank
languages
jacket.
Does Chrissy Teigen speak?
Bleep you.
All she can do is call people bots.
I just don't understand how this, some people are just being so positive and trying to bring people together. You'd think that if anything could bring us together and be a bipartisan issue, it would be defeating a pandemic. But they still are so full of hate and derangement. It's very bizarre. And Deborah Messing tweeted, "MAGA supporters will die." She said, "Liar in chief, MAGA has been unmoved by the 16,000 lies 45 has made since elected. Now that innumerable people, including MAGA, will die because of his lies and inaction, I wonder if MAGA will recognize that 45 must be voted out." Well, I'm sure that tweet is going to do it for them, Deborah.
That changed a lot of minds.
I just think that the guy in the last hour made a really good point, Howie, because he said, you know, Howie, no one's died, and that's a good thing. And I do agree with him on that, Howie, that you make fun of the death toll, but we should be happy that no one's died. But I would like to ask that guy another question back, which would be, so, because he says, when's enough for Howie to react as if this is a pandemic? When is it enough of a pandemic for the mainstream media not to be worried about political correctness? If the world is truly falling apart, why are we worried about what we're calling this thing? Y'all need to find Jesus in this moment. If it's going to be a zombie apocalypse, y'all should be finding Jesus. Don't worry about it calling the China
Grace,
flu or the Chinese flu. Worry about
even
sheltering
if they
down.
Even if they had a name to go with this alleged horrible thing, calling it Kung Flu. Is that a big deal? But they don't have a name. For all we know, and I think most people believe that somebody just made this up. And the reporters who were asking the questions, they couldn't even say, "Well, I know somebody said Kung Flu. I heard it." They just said somebody said it. But they don't even have a Chrissy Teigen or a Deborah Messing to to blame it on with a tweet or an Instagram. All they got, somebody said. And the president of the United States is supposed to respond to this in the midst of what they're saying is this terrible pandemic.
That's it.
But that's all they've got to hang their hat on.
But that's my point, Howie. It's not about whether someone called it the Kung Flu. I really could care less about that. My point is, you can't have both. You have to pick a lane. It's either the end of the world and this is the worst thing ever, or it's a virus and, you know, it's bad, but you can also worry about all this stupid crap on the side. Because until these people start saying, you know what, let's get on the side of America and let's beat this thing, I'm not going to believe that they think it's really that bad. Because if the Brian Stelters of the world thought this was bad, they would stop for a moment. They'd have a moment of clarity and they would stop, you know, trolling Donald Trump at all times. But it cannot be that bad if they're saying this kind of stuff.
It's also, if the global warming crisis, so-called, was so bad and all the islands are going to sink, as Joe Biden said the other night at the debate, are sinking, why did his boss, Barack America, as he calls him, why did he buy for $15 million a mansion on the Atlantic coast on Martha's Vineyard? And now, by the way, the beautiful people are all fleeing to Martha's Vineyard and Nantucket months ahead of the season to escape, even though global warming is going to swamp all these islands. Did you see that? I'll read that story to you later.
But
there's a new story in the Globe.
You're totally right. I mean, I am fully on board for the social distancing and people washing their hands and being very aware and taking all these precautions. I think that Donald Trump's been doing a great job of having these daily press conferences. I do think it's serious. But if it's serious, that means we all have to put our differences aside for a hot minute and get along with each other. But they can't do that. They're so deranged, and it's just ridiculous. And it's so transparent that they're using this to take down Trump. So they got to pick a lane. That's all I'm saying. And when we get back, Howie, we can do the Martha's Vineyard story. And I also have a story about Jackie Onassis that I think you'll be interested in.
Is it about our house on Martha's Vineyard?
No, but it is about a house. It's not on Martha's Vineyard, though.
I'm Howie Carr.
He's suave. He's debonair. He's Howie Carr.
This is Mark in Williston, Vermont.
This is Marie in Somerville, Massachusetts.
This is Mike from South Attleboro, Mass. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
Ever hear of a short story by Edgar Allan Poe entitled The Mask of the Red Death? It made it into a movie in the 1960s. Vincent Price was the star. There's a plague. And so everybody takes sanctuary in this big castle, all the nobles, because that's where they're going to protect themselves. And guess what happens? The Red Death gets inside. And, well, you know, you can figure out. Edgar Allan Poe wrote the story. You can figure it out. Check it out sometime. Orion Metal Exchange is the only precious metals company that I trust. Give them a call to get a free, no-obligation investment guide about protecting your future with an enduring investment in gold and silver. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain, including peace of mind, by calling now. Call them today at 800-912-2300. And with Orion, you'll get more metal for your money. Call 800-912-2300. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
If you could, would you take a coronavirus test right now?
No, I don't see what the point is.
Grace?
I would, because then I would know if I had to avoid elderly people, but I think I should be avoiding them anyway just because you can be carrying it. But I think I would, probably just out of, you know.
All my friends are elderly people, so it's a shame for me. Anyway,
you should definitely take one.
I would take one. 27% say they would take one, too.
I saw a video.
I don't see the point. That's why I wouldn't take one.
That's because you are an elderly person.
I don't think
no
I'm going to die.
No rebuttal from Howie. No rebuttal.
I can't rebut my driver's license. It's right there.
Your cake every year rebuts it pretty hard. So
My cake lies, though. Thanks to you, Grace.
Yes.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, I don't know, but I saw a video of a girl. She's an influencer or something, and she was getting the coronavirus test at one of those drive-up places, and she filmed it. And I guess I don't think I've ever had a flu test before. I've gotten the flu shot, but I've never had a flu test. I didn't know they stick that stick or Q-tip up your nose really far, like up to your eyeball.
Yeah, I think
that's what
the test.
Trump was talking about that today. Cut 15.
Today I can announce further steps to expand testing capacity. We're working with several groups to determine if the self-swab, a much easier process than the current process that's not very nice to do, I can tell you, because I did it.
It looks like it hurts.
It's not waterboarding, but it's the same type of principle, right?
It does hurt. I had to take it. My wife didn't tell me what she was doing a couple of weeks ago when I was out sick, and she just shoved something up my nose without telling me. It was very painful.
Yeah, it looks very uncomfortable. Howie, I wanted to talk about this story in the New York Post. Cheating husband catches coronavirus on trip to Italy with mistress. A cheating UK hubby.
You know you're having a bad day when you go to the love nest with your gal pal and you come down with the coronavirus.
Yeah, he's in a blind panic over his extramarital affair now that he has contracted the coronavirus on a secret trip to Italy with his mistress. I mean, if
how
you're
do you do a secret trip? A secret trip to Italy?
That's how I feel. It's like, listen, you shouldn't be cheating on your wife. He shouldn't be cheating on his wife to begin with. But you know what? If you're going to cheat, do a staycation. Get a hotel down the street and, you know, stay incognito for a little while. Maybe you'd be quarantining yourself anyway because you don't want to be seen by anyone.
How long was he gone?
Well, he told his wife he was on a business trip.
Oh, okay.
So maybe a week, maybe two, who knows? But then he got back, realized he had coronavirus, and he had to tell his wife that he was actually in Italy. If I found out that someone I was with cheated on me and took the other person to Italy, one of the most romantic places in the world, not right now, but usually, I would be livid.
Uber Jason says the test isn't that bad.
Oh, that's good to know, Uber Jason. Thank you for that. People shouldn't be scared of the test, for sure. Jackie O's pool palace in the Bahamas is on sale for $5.5 million.
In the Bahamas? I didn't know she had I knew she had the place on Martha's Vineyard. I thought they sold that. Caroline was selling that. But I didn't know there was one in the Bahamas, too. A pool palace.
I don't know.
Man,
how
she made a lot selling all those dresses that Aristotle Onassis bought her.
I don't think she owned this house, Howie. I think she just used to stay there a lot, but it's on sale for $5.5 million. She used to stay there with her sister, Caroline Lee Radzwill, and they would spend winter weekends in the Bahamas. So, you know, that stuff's going for a lot of money. I mean, $5.5 right now. And then you mentioned before that everyone now is going over to Martha's Vineyard in Nantucket to escape the coronavirus, and the people there don't want people coming over.
Yeah, I got to read you some of these quotes. They're amazing. These are islands that are supposed to be, or the summer people are so welcoming to illegal aliens because they need someone to cut the lawn, and now the summer people are coming back in the winter, and everybody's saying, don't come here. I'll read you the story when we come back. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers studio.
This is a virus that came from the territory of China, but came from bats. This is a bat virus, not a China virus. It doesn't speak Chinese. It doesn't target Chinese people. It targets human beings who happen to touch their eyes, nose, or mouth.
Somebody call Robin. We've got an epidemic here in Gotham City. Escaping coronavirus, the well-heeled fleet of Nantucket and Martha's Vineyard. Martha's Vineyard, where Barack Obama just bought his $15 million mansion, even though he believes that the sea levels are rising and will soon be washing away the islands. The islands are sinking, Joe Biden said on Sunday night. But they're still buying, and the price of real estate continues to escalate. John Kerry also lives on Martha's Vineyard. So does Lois Lerner, the corrupt IRS career agent who, at the behest of the Obama administration, persecuted Tea Party groups in the Obama years to stop to get them to the sidelines by not approving their tax-exempt status. Remember her? They all the beautiful people live on Martha's Vineyard. And that's where Ted Kennedy killed Mary Jo Kopechne. And a lot of them live on Nantucket, too. But now all the beautiful people are moving back early because they want to escape the hoi polloi, the credulous boomer rubes, i.e. you and me, who might be carrying the virus and might infect them. On the islands, this from the Boston Globe this afternoon, on the islands, year-round residents who typically live in semi-isolation in May are noticing a sudden increase in traffic. Jackie's daughter, Caroline Kennedy Schlossberg, just put the place on the market there. I don't know if she sold it yet or not. I can't remember. Have noticed a sudden increase in traffic with an abundance of New York and Connecticut license plates. At the Martha's Vineyard Airport, says Brian Packish, a selectman in Oak Bluffs, private jets have been pouring in. See, they're not too concerned about their carbon emissions. They're concerned about your carbon emissions. The apparent cause of this sudden rush, the coronavirus pandemic, is driving well-heeled summer residents to the perceived safety and isolation of their second homes.
There's no better place to self-distance than in Martha's Vineyard, said Gary Jenkins, a New York entertainment lawyer who's been spending summers on the vineyard.
He's not been spending summers, he's been summering, that's the to use the proper terminology, on the vineyard since the age of five.
I can sit on my front porch, smoke a cigar, and not see anybody.
But the influx, by some accounts, several thousand people have arrived on Nantucket alone. Oh, there goes the neighborhood. Has set off resentment among some of the island's full-time residents who worry that these virus refugees will deplete groceries and other crucial supplies that must be brought by ferry. And most of all, that someone carrying the infection will touch off a medical crisis. You know, these are the same concerns that Texans down in the Rio Grande Valley have about illegal aliens swimming across the Rio Grande. Says an assistant manager at a Martha's Vineyard animal shelter, if you don't need to be here, if you don't have a reason to be here, it doesn't make sense for you to be here. Again, I feel the same way about illegal aliens. Don't you? Already, some residents say there have been issues on the islands. Caretakers and plumbers have been forced into early duty. Oh, my God. They're making extra money. This is a real problem. Scrambling to keep up with the calls they're getting to have homes ready for seasonal residents, while full-time residents on both islands have reported runs on groceries and toiletries. Huh. Have there been any runs on toilet paper? Like on the mainland?
I've never seen grocery carts so full, said John Christensen, an official in the Martha's Vineyard town of West Tisbury.
Oak Bluffs Select Board member Gail Barkmakian, noting the island's large senior population, called on the Steamship Authority to discourage those coming to Martha's Vineyard for non-essential purposes. I think people coming to this country to go on welfare is a non-essential purpose. Can we shut the borders? Can we have travel bans? So now the beautiful people on Martha's Vineyard and Nantucket want travel bans. In a recent online discussion, one part-time resident responded to calls to avoid the vineyard by announcing that as a tax-paying homeowner on the island, he would soon be arriving with his wife and dog, with or without a blessing.
Sorry, you have a problem with all of the above, he wrote. Get used to it. See you tomorrow.
You know, these are the same people as a texter just pointed out, on Martha's Vineyard, who treat Alan Dershowitz, the president's lawyer and the former Harvard Law School professor, as a pariah. They treat him as a typhoid Mary. They won't invite him to any cocktail parties anymore because he has said that the president's civil rights and civil liberties should not be violated in order to drive him from office. He supports the Constitution. He supports the Bill of Rights. So he is unwelcome now in polite society. But apparently there are a lot of other people now who are unwelcome in polite society. So the Globe interviewed this guy, Rufus Gifford, the former U.S. ambassador to Denmark. I think he's the son of Chad Gifford, who used to be the chairman of the Bank of Boston. You don't get much more waspy and Yankee than the Giffords. On Tuesday, he was en route to Nantucket via the Steamship Authority family from ferry from his home in Concord. It's hard to know how to do the right thing in these times, but this feels like the right thing. Oh, man. It's tough to have to decide between your home in Concord and your home on Nantucket. These are the travails of the beautiful people. They're suffering, just like you and me. 844-500-4242. Bernadette, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Bernadette.
Hi, Howie. I am a first-time caller and a new watcher of Newsmax. How are you, sir?
I'm very good. I'm very happy to be on my little island down here in South Florida. And, you know, the big hotel has just closed down for 3 weeks, and we have a 9 o'clock curfew. But somehow I'm powering through, as Hillary Clinton would say.
Hey, well, I'm glad to hear that. Well, I'm calling from Nashville, and, you know, we just came through a tornado, and now we have this. So these people are panicking, just like everywhere. But what I was calling, I'm a black female veteran, and I am a Christian also, and I've been a supporter of President Trump from day one. I got involved with the Tea Party here in Tennessee, in Nashville, in 2008, and all my friends, those evil rich white folk that I was supposed to hate, they're all still my friends to this day. But I've been going to my own community because I have like 4 or 5 Trump hats for 2020.
Yeah.
And I also have a couple of pair of leggings, the President Trump 2020 leggings. And
yeah.
So I purposely go to the black community to strike up conversation to see what they say about President Trump. And, of course, all of it's negative. But I talk to these people anyway, and I bring the scripture to them about love of Christ.
That's
and
good.
All that. And I bring them, and I educate them about the Democrat Party. And then I end up changing their minds at the end of the conversation.
I'm glad, Bernadette. You know, you got to look on the bright side of these things. You guys just, the Titans just re-signed Ryan Tannehill. I think he's a pretty good quarterback. You know, you almost got to the Super Bowl last year. You're probably going to make it this coming year. I was really surprised, though, Bernadette. About a month ago, we had an off-duty New York cop on the show, and he had come down for a weekend vacation. It was his 50th birthday, I think. And he went down with his wife, and he was hitting all the country music bars in Nashville. And he was wearing a MAGA hat, and he got assaulted. I didn't know that Nashville had been infiltrated by that element.
I didn't know either, because they don't touch me. No one has ever come and said anything to me. Black people, they just give me an evil look. And white people say, "Ooh, I love your hat." And so, but that's, I mean, I kind of started because I'm a veteran and I just don't care and I don't fear anybody. So I purposely go to my communities, and I'm proud of us that we're slowly coming around to his side. But the Democrats will never, ever give up complete control of us, because there's some of us, like the older generation of black people, they're gone.
Well, I don't know. A lot of them still voting for Joe Biden for reasons that escape me. But listen, thanks for the call, Bernadette, and keep listening to us on Newsmax and watching us. Bill, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Bill. Jill, go ahead.
That's okay. Okay, I'm calling you with Maine stuff and Massachusetts stuff.
Yes.
As you probably saw in Portland, for St. Patrick's Day, they shut down all the bars and pubs.
Yeah, they did that everywhere, basically, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
And our local pub was open yesterday. I was able to celebrate St. Patrick's Day. And he said he was going to stay open until they shut him down. But today, Governor Janet Mills shut them all down, and he's going to have to try to do takeout, which they don't do. And, of course, he's not going to make any money off liquor because he can't sell.
I know. That's the problem. You know, they keep all these politicians that are shutting down the bars for dine-in service and saying you can still do takeout. Jill, they don't seem to understand that a huge percentage of the profit of most of these places comes from the liquor. You know, I mean, the food, they do okay with the food, but there's a much higher profit margin on the booze, you're right, they're not going to get any of that. I feel bad for the restaurateurs and the people who work in the restaurants. They're just, I mean, everybody, not just the wait staff, the people you see, but the people back in the kitchen. Even the dishwashers, the cooks, everybody is—they're all going to be hurt. There was a report today in Boston on Monday. 20,000 people filed for unemployment. 20,000 people in the state of Massachusetts. That's more than filed for unemployment in the entire month of February, because we had full employment in February, and now all these people are being laid off. And I just wonder, how much good is being done by closing all these places. Thanks for the call, Bill. Or Jill, excuse me. 844-500-4242. There's a headline in the New York Post. Spring breakers grind and party on booze cruise despite coronavirus pandemic. And they have a picture from a booze cruise. This is a... STS Travel, it's a video, shows 250 bikini-clad spring breakers dancing, drinking, and throwing their cares to the wind aboard a ship near Nassau, Bahamas, on Monday, a day after that country reported its first COVID-19 case. And here's what the Post says. Our last booze cruise was yesterday. The Blackbeard's Revenge Cruise took such good care of our travelers, no one had to walk the plank. But they did make the prudent decision to cut the capacity of the passengers on the boat in half, from 500 to 250. They only had 250 drunk college students on the boat instead of the usual 500. Ben, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Ben.
Hi, Howie. So I'd like to explain what I think you're missing in the situation with the coronavirus. And that is that it's a new virus. And what that impacts is the community resistance. In other words, as you pointed out, we had like 40,000 cases of flu last year in Massachusetts, in the country, and 80,000 the year before that. The situation with the COVID virus is much different. Because it is new, nobody in the national population has antibody and has resistance to it.
Well, they say a lot of people that are walking around with it have it, and they have no symptoms, and they're not sick, so they must have some resistance to it, right?
Well, I'm not a doctor. I think you develop resistance. At the time, the human body will build up resistance, but you don't have antibodies pre-existing as you would get with an immunization shot. So therefore, the public that's why it will spread like crazy. Now, if you do the numbers, when you look at 40,000 cases.
But it hasn't, number one, it hasn't spread like crazy. And number two, almost half the cases still come out of that one nursing home. In Washington, this is a country of 330 million people. I'm not saying it's not a problem. I'm just saying, how bad a problem is it? The economy is in recession now, basically. Is this really, was it worth driving the economy into a recession? I mean, there's going to be a downside to having people, maybe a million people. I don't know how many people lose their jobs. Do you think they'll slide into, I don't know, drug dependency? Alcoholism, where, you know, if you have these people self-quarantining, is there going to be more domestic abuse because of that? I mean, there are all these downsides to this mobilization, as it were, against the virus. I mean, is it that? I'm just asking the question. How big a problem is it? Thanks for the call, Ben. I'm Howie Carr.
Howie Carr. You can trust him. He's not like the others.
This is Jeff in Woodstock, Connecticut.
This is Laura Benner in South Burlington, Vermont.
This is Jimmy Mack in Falmouth, Massachusetts. And this is The Howie Carr Show.
This is from the CBS TV affiliate in Baltimore. Baltimore mayor begs residents to stop shooting each other so that hospital beds can be used for coronavirus victims. This is the mayor, Jack Young, who took over for Mayor Pugh, who is she's giving up her bed in Baltimore. She's going to a federal penitentiary any day now in a massive corruption scandal. Baltimore Mayor Jack Young urged residents to put down their guns and heed orders to stay home after multiple people were shot Tuesday night amidst the coronavirus pandemic. Young said hospital beds are needed to treat positive COVID-19 patients and not for senseless violence. Seven people were shot Tuesday night in the Madison Park neighborhood. I want to reiterate how completely unacceptable the level of violence is that we've seen recently, Young said. We cannot stand for mass shootings and an increase in crime. Tell it to Philadelphia, Mayor Young. They have the Philadelphia Police Department has announced that they will, because of coronavirus, they will no longer be arresting suspects for retail theft, auto theft, burglary, narcotics, or other nonviolent offenses. Suppose someone's burglarizing your house and you come in. What do you think the burglar is going to do? Do you think that's a nonviolent offense? But this is the edict effective yesterday at the start of the 4 p.m. shift. Sierra, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Sierra.
Hi, I'm a registered nurse, and so right now across the country, there's crisis staffing going on. So agencies are calling up nurses to come to California.
I'm sorry, Sierra, we don't have time to talk to you. Call back again. I'm Howie Carr.